Hey, Mr. Gross, I got a question for you.
All right.
I know you're probably getting tired of car accident questions, but my son was in an accident a couple months ago. The guy that hit him only has a $10,000 limit, but my son's medical bills exceed that amount. Is there any way that we can try to get more money out of him?
Do you have any idea from reviewing the accident report whether the person that caused the wreck was driving his own vehicle or someone else's?
I believe it was his car, but I'm really not sure.
All right. Good question. I'll try to answer it. And this is a good example of what I was talking about before on the first caller, is there's so many policies out there that are only 10,000. I would say 50% of the drivers, from what I can see, only have a 10-20 limit, the basic coverage in Florida. And this scenario happens all the time. So the first thing any competent lawyer is going to do, there's going to be a checklist. So you certainly get the coverage for the driver that caused the wreck. But Florida is what we call a dangerous instrumentality doctrine state. What that means, the owner of a vehicle is liable for the damage it causes. So we're going to try to find out and check and match everything up and see, was that vehicle owned by somebody else? If so, there could be a big policy limit out there that we don't even know about. A third issue that has been coming up a lot lately that I think a lot of lawyers may miss, but we don't, and it's this. We get an affidavit from the insurance company as to whether or not that driver was in the scope of their employment for somebody else. If I send my receptionist out for an errand and she's got minimal coverage, but she causes a car wreck, the officer is not going to ask her where she works or was she in the scope of employment. He's just going to ask her about her and her car insurance. So the accident report won't tell you this. But if that person was in the scope running an errand for my law firm or an accountant or any other big business, that business is automatically liable according to the doctrine of respondent superior, so that the employer is liable for the acts of the employee. So you could have a hidden big policy out there that some people may miss. And then the fourth way, of course, what I talked about earlier, we're back to my favorite subject, underinsured motorist coverage. In fact, you made the comment and you said, Mr. Gross, you're probably tired of answering car accident questions. I'm not. It's what I do. 95% of everything I do is car accident cases. I teach at Pensacola State Junior College on the subject. I write for the Florida Bar. We give seminars. Mr. Schuster and I have a seminar on this topic coming up. So we live and breathe it. So we don't mind answering it. But when it gets to underinsured motorist coverage, it's really two things in Florida. There's some states where you have to buy uninsured motorist and a separate premium for underinsured. I've seen that. In Florida, it's one size fits all. So if you buy UM, it's either uninsured because the person just didn't have insurance, or underinsured because you're arguing that your damages exceed their coverage. So you need to look at your policies. Under Florida law, we're allowed to stack coverages. You could actually add all the coverages of resident relatives within your household. So if you've got grandma living with you, if you've got Uncle Joe living with you, if your daughter moved out and she's back in her 30s because she's down and out, we get to look at her policy. So any policies of the household where you have resident relatives, we look at. And if you've got stacking coverage, you got five vehicles, we could stack all those coverages together, especially if your injuries are significant enough. So I think, yes, I think it's worthy of a consultation. These are the questions we ask at the first consultation to try to figure these things out to maximize your recovery, because you need coverage to prevail.